it's easy to get the impression that there's one of two messages that the church teaches, and that people either choose one or the other. There's the negative message, or there's the positive message. Now, these are stereotypes, but you know, if people take a very superficial view of things, I think they do fall into one of these two categories. There are people who think that the church's main message is to point out how bad we are, we're all sinners, we're at risk of going to hell forever, and we're making a mess out of the world. And then there's the message of the church that other people think is the main thing, of how good we are, how absolutely adorable we are, and God loves us so much. Now, and there's something to both of these, of course. In fact, you can find support in the scriptures for both of these superficial reductions of the Christian message. Sure, there's plenty in the scriptures that indicate the problem. We are the problem. Sin is the problem, and we brought it on ourselves. I think of that passage we heard just a couple days ago where Jesus says, how long do I have to put up with you? How long can I put up with you? You're so hard-hearted. And the prophets have plenty of messages like that. But on the other hand, there are plenty of messages, especially in the gospel, in the gospels, that indicate that God really does love us very much, and he wants all his children to be with him. And the message is extraordinarily positive. Come to me, all you who labor. Let the children come to me. Be like your Father in heaven. So the truth is a little bit more complex than either of those stereotypes. The truth is that, yes, there are severe problems, and we labor with them, but that God's plan from the beginning was for our glory, and that even after sin entered the picture, God never deviated from a glorious plan for us, but he has to deal with the problem of sin. And so the message of the church is, yes, there's a big problem that has to be dealt with, but God can handle it, so turn away from sin and follow the gospel. And if you do that, the conclusion is much greater than any positive self-image we might come up with. How adorable we might think we are. Well, God has a much higher view of us than we can imagine. We got a glimpse of it on Sunday, remember, in the Transfiguration. Jesus revealed glorious humanity. Yes, his own glorious humanity, but he has united himself with us so that we can be glorious. I think today's scriptures help us get this sense of the need to move from sin to grace, or the need to deal with sin so that we can cooperate with God's great plan. You see this in today's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Starts out with this shocking address. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah they're like keywords. They represent everything that's bad about the human family. And even Jesus himself, at one point, he says, well, you're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. The people of Sodom are going to condemn you. So Sodom and Gomorrah were like, it's just a shortcut for talking about the problem of sin in the human family. So here's Isaiah saying, you religious leaders are the leaders of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's not saying that simply to condemn them. He's saying it so that they will take seriously the call to conversion. Wash yourselves clean. Put away misdeeds. It's a clear call to conversion. Come now, let us set things right. As bad as things are, and they're bad, it could be fixed up. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. You see, it's not that the point is that your sins are scarlet. The point is that though they are scarlet, there's a way they can be pure white again. You see what happens if we latch onto one or the other of these stereotypes, we're stuck. If our focus is simply on how bad we are, or how bad the world is, or how bad everything is becoming, well, that's not going to get us anywhere. That's why before the council, the people started to reject religion because they said it's too negative. Oh, fire and brimstone, just focusing on problems. Why don't you lighten up? And so people said, rather than hear preachers telling me that I'm a sinner all the time, I just won't bother to listen. Because, and that is the natural reaction. If the message is all negative all the time, eventually people will just turn down the volume. Say, well, why listen to that? It's just depressing. Now, but that isn't the dominant message nowadays. Now people try to say everything is good and you're fine. And that doesn't get us anywhere either, because we know it's not really true. We can't say everything's fine. Just look at the news. And we can't say everything's fine. We just look at ourselves. See, we're not perfect. So I don't think anyone thinks he's perfect, but you know what pride does. Pride gives us this ability to say, well, maybe I'm not perfect, but at least I'm better than him. that's a foothold of pride. At least, I'm not perfect, sure I've made some mistakes, but I'm way better than those people. And they're the ones who have to change. So once we have that attitude, we're in trouble. Because it's a combination of looking at how bad everything is, it's just applying it to other people and saying how good everything is and applying it to ourselves. Well, so Isaiah, just to get back to the scriptures here, Isaiah says, okay, you've got big problems, you've got scarlet sins, but don't stay like that. Come on, let's get it right. And it's a very encouraging message. If you really see the whole, it's not a condemnation, but an invitation to be set free. Now, when we turn to the gospel, we see it's a little bit trickier than simply identifying sin and turning away. There's the possibility of turning away from sin in a superficial way and looking like we're pure white as snow, but in fact not really changing the heart. And that's the danger that the Pharisees keep falling into. So Jesus here says the scribes and the Pharisees, they have the authority to teach, so listen to what they say. They are set up as the authentic teachers of the law of Moses, and when they teach it, you should listen to it and observe it, but don't follow their example, which is quite a condemnation, not of the law of Moses and all the teaching of the Pharisees. It's condemnation of the Pharisees themselves and their self-righteous behavior. They're not really good. They just want to look good. They want to have places of honor. They want to have greetings in public. They want everyone to honor them, and they want that without the change that would make them really honorable. Jesus concludes this instruction. Remember, he's not only talking to scribes and Pharisees, he's talking to everybody, and he concludes the instruction with this message. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If we take the attitude that we're okay, well, then we have to be humbled. If our stance is too positive, in the sense of proud, we have to be humbled. It always seems to me that God works very hard to humble the world. That's what the pandemic should have done by now. I think this war in Ukraine is humbling the world. If that doesn't humble the world, the inflation and the poverty and the hardships that are going to spread all around, if this doesn't get dealt with, that's going to humble the world, because that's what we really need. If we're so full of ourselves and so full of the idea that we are in charge and we can make things better and we don't have to change, well, we have to be humbled. For our own good, we have to be humbled. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, because it's good to be humbled. Not that we like it, but objectively speaking, it's a good thing to be humbled, because then we're ready to accept the great exaltation God has in mind for us. So whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. To humble ourselves, we have to acknowledge the truth. Truth about our sin, the truth about our weakness, our failures, our need for God. It's not self-condemnation, it's not self-rejection, it's not unhealthy psychology or anything like that. It's just truth. Humility is truth. And once we embrace the truth, then God can do the rest. We can't fix ourselves, but we don't have to fix ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. Let God be the one to fix us. So this is the Lenten journey, a big part of Lent and the Easter journey. Being exalted isn't the part that we usually emphasize in Lent, although we saw it on Sunday, but that is the purpose of this whole thing. Is to let God exalt us. We don't have to exalt ourselves. If we do, we'll get in the way. But God wants to exalt us. His plan is so much greater than ours, so much better. Let us humble ourselves so that he can do the work of exalting us.